Rangers Rambles.
I'm so sorry, Jill, for saying that, though.
No, you're good. You're good. But hey, at least now we're back
we're live.
And we're on the air. Welcome back to the next episode of the Raiders Rambles, our very own podcast. I am Jolt, chief host of the show. And sadly, it's not great news that my co-host Avira is absent this week following a lot of things, a lot of personal events on his plate and some other issues too. So, with any luck, I wish that he's okay, and we'll keep you updated with and when he returns. So, that said, our hosts this week are Mikhail.
Hello.
Good to have you back on the show.
Hello, Khajiit.
Khajiit has wares to sell and a lot to talk about.
Oh, yes.
Khajiit is your friend.
Next on the show, Guile.
Hello, everyone. How's it going?
Sorry for putting you really on the spot, but, you know, I couldn't really think of anybody else to just to bring in. But I think we'll make this work out.
Oh, it definitely will work out.
Next on the show, Blade.
Yo.
It's been a very long time since we had you. Over a year, wasn't it?
What was that? What was the question?
It's been a very long time since we've had you on the show.
Oh, definitely. No, I can't even remember. for the viewers listening or watching, whatever, vice versa, it's been so long, and to put in context of how long it's been, I don't even remember the number of one of the Raider Rambles that I joined on.
It's also a shame, too, that that episode I have to reinstate because one of our ex-members who was on that episode kind of flaked out. So that's, that will not happen again. And I won't delete episodes off, you know, of our public records. Too late for that.
Oh, so the one that I was in, I had it was deleted?
Yeah, because that ex-member flaked out on that episode. But yeah.
Right.
Last up on the panel is Sparky.
Hi, guys. Except for Dog Patch, he looks like he's been struggling with simple tasks.
We gotta have the roasts in there. Gotta do the roasts.
Yes.
We will. Can I get a salt to that?
Oh, we will.
I mean, you gotta have a nice healthy meal, and that nice healthy meal requires some salt.
That's why I have a salt sticker in my pack, too. And it was worth every single penny.
You know, the thing is, though, is that I do carry a lot of salt piles in my inventory.
Hey, at least you'll add those nice flavor to your meals and just sprinkle it with your pinky and finger.
Or to make potions of slow. Ooh. A lot of them.
So, let's begin then. I have, for this segment, a story to tell about why I wasn't on the show last week. And a story of once upon a time, there was a great fantasy. Now, I'm talking about me heading to Iron Fest.
Iron Fest? What the?
That looks pretty good. Damn.
That's the Iron Fest Kratos. 2020 for next
it
year.
It is. The 2019 site has gone down. But this is next year's theme is Gothic. And
Kratos, go on a diet. Eat a salad.
Yeah, believe it or not, like, it's literally haven for fantasy lovers. It's literally a haven for those who wish to, like I said, like in the description, it is a cool arts festival with a metal edge featuring art exhibitions, stalls, live music, dance, street performance, blacksmith demonstrations, historical reenactments, including medieval jousting, historical melees, birds of prey, other era battle reenactments, circus, street theater, cosplay competitions and workshops, art and craft making workshops, econ games, automotive, education, historical display, lots more, and furries.
Which where you come in, right, Jolt?
Precisely. Because the guys, I went there with my local fur group. And they literally, and because they talked, the guys there talked to the head honchos of Iron Fest, they gave us recognition, clan, you know, clan recognition, and our own spot on the festival's proceedings.
Ooh.
I mean, per se, Iron Fest isn't what you consider a furry event, but they love us. They love us, and they'll really stick up for us.
Anthropomorphic creatures? Well, which fantasy would not want it, right?
Right, and we're so adaptable. Like the theme, like I said, the theme for this 2019 was Once Upon a Time. And, believe it or not, and you know what? You can draw up from any other fantasy, and you fit in. But, alas, though, this is us. This, what I'm sharing is us and our local fur group.
Oh, my.
Quite pretty, just quite a sight, isn't it? No.
Mm-hmm. I like the two gentlemen in the front, very steampunkish. And there's a plane over there.
Very with witty.
With a human.
Oh.
No, what else?
He's awesome, though. His tail is 100% mechanized.
We have a scaly, and we have... I can't really make sure what is that purple thing right behind that...
Gee, I wonder what it is, huh?
Yeah, I wonder what it is. Hmm. I think it started with a J-O-L-T.
Yes.
A jolty. Only problem is you gotta get some clothes, because you're running around nude.
Well, you gotta get yourself a white suit, man.
Oh, I'd love to flop that on. I'd love to flop that on. It would have been perfect for the theme, all things considered. But next year, I'm gonna have to figure something out. Maybe put myself on as a Visigoth or whatever. What was that idea you threw on me? Like, put me in a, you know, in an Age of Empires 2 Huskarl.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, here's the thing about those Scarls. You can fire all the arrows they want. You want at them, but they won't die. Every arrow they take from them doesn't matter how many all the upgrades for freaking the unit on Age of Empires. They'll just take it, only one damage, and that's it.
Literally, post a sign that says, "It takes 60 arrows to kill me." But hey, you know what though? Just so you guys can see. To some a little bit of better stuff too.
Hmm.
Yes.
Well, wow.
Guys in lots of armor, swords, and a segment for LARPing.
Mm-hmm. But in a huge purple squirrel.
Show them the freaking Nazi reenactment, people.
Well, oh yeah, they were there. That was there, right? There was, like, let me tell you, there was actually a stand on the park that contained, like, military, you know, World War II reenactors, World War I reenactors, and military. You know.
Yeah, they even had a tank.
Oh, they did. And all of them actually worked. Like, they had in the thing... an actual Panzerkampfwagen IV.
The Sherman tanks.
Yes. That's precisely it. And, in fact, they were actually reenacting the battle for the Western Front on that day. And, of course, it goes without saying, all of the tanks fully function. They run, the engines start up, and they fire artillery. Which is loud as frick.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah, that draws quite a crowd, too.
Oh, dude, tell me
about
it.
I can see a lot of people are really interested in that, too. That's amazing. Yeah.
They brought in a few more tanks, and including, you know, an M1 Stuart.
The M1 Stuart is a whole lot smaller than I thought it would be.
Believe it or not. But the best part was
it's a dinky.
They were literally
as loud, but they don't shoot. Blanks can be just as loud, but they don't fire anything out of the muzzle. They just make a really loud bang sound.
But those tanks on that side were literally the best because they fired a smoke ring that went for days. Like a literal smoke ring. You could even see, like, I'll even pop this up from one of those American-ish artillery weapons. This alone was a smoke ring that traveled for like 30 meters.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You got that right.
Yeah, that smoke ring reminds me of like one of those vapors that make those little smoke rings with their tongues and lips and stuff like that. And I'm just imagining that, looking at just like the biggest set of lungs a man could ever have.
Oh, yeah. And like, you know what, forget about having a cigarette, though. If you want a really smoke ring, get yourself one of those armored vehicles and just shoot a blank. That's smoking.
Boom.
But, yes, to get back to the things, yeah, there were Nazi people in Nazi-ish regalia. And, yes, I did, so? I could not.
So?
Oh, yeah. So? Nobody give a shit. It's a reenactment, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I think you can actually purchase some of that stuff.
Oh yeah, they had the thing on the, what's it called? They had it on the counter, like on the tables there.
Fascinating.
All the belts. Fascinating. They had divisional uniforms.
Oh. To be honest, I wouldn't mind purchasing one of the Panzer Crew outfits with the paraphernalia kind of removed, respectively.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Because, of course, there are soy cards and everything.
Yeah. The uniforms. And, oh, yeah. Mm. Well, on that pile, too, sadly, there were some communist, you know.
Ones. Yeah.
You know what? The people can't yell. I'm saying, there are Nazi sympathizers while also having USSR paraphernalia on the side.
And true. And that note too, I did end up seeing, funnily enough, a furry who wasn't in our local group with a communist pin. But that's a story for another time. He was cool.
Oh,
but,
gosh.
Ooh. Yeah. But hey.
At least he wasn't one of those. <three cars. laughs>
Oh, yes.
Oh, gosh, that one right there. Wow, that's actually a very... That scarf right there, that one right there. Or is that the armband?
It's pretty high quality.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's actually tailored pretty well. You can see the nice... That's a vibrant red and black there, actually. That's someone who made that. That actually is very well done.
It goes without saying that this is a reenactment and nobody really gave a shit.
Yeah, what? Especially since they have communist paraphernalia, which, yeah, communism is pretty bad, too, and then it killed a lot of people.
Indeed.
It's kind of like the ironic thing of just like, stop glorifying National Socialism attempts while proceeding to glorify the USSR.
You're both the same thing.
One of the other highlights from the show, of course, was V-Cat bus from My Neighbor Totoro. Yes, the people in my local fur group actually made this. And it's actually a tube frame with a lot of fur in the face of a cat sewn on.
From this angle of view, it kind of looks like there's the reenacting group inside there.
Yeah, well, it's two people in the local fur group. A family made this. Actually, you know, their whole family are furries, though. And I actually got to hop in and actually lift the tube frame because it needs like 3 or 4 people to lug around.
I see.
But it is a parade favorite because that thing went on parade. The same. I really could have gone onto the parade lugging the cat bus, but I didn't.
I'm sorry to say this, that thing looks like a cross between a caterpillar, a cat carrier, a bouncy house with the cat sticking its head out of the carrier.
You know, you really got to watch My Neighbor Totoro just to see how a freaking cat bus opens and works. But that's
Oh, Lord.
It was fine. But unless, of course, the idea of going through it is literally walking, lifting the thing up on your shoulders and just and looking around, because avoiding horse food was one of the literal games at Iron Fest. Not really, but because it was on the path and they actually had horses. In a parade, too, no less.
How much time did it take to make that?
Oh, they said a week. Well,
how much money?
Oh, a lot, because I personally talked to the makers of that thing one-to-one. And let me tell you, it's a pain to lift, but good grief, is it a parade favorite or what?
Well, I can see why it's a parade favorite when you have someone that works together and makes it and stuff. People are always going to be drawn to what
are able to handle it quite well, because having four people be able to lift that thing and be able to get around properly is a feat of its own.
It kills your shoulders, though. Like, I mean, I was literally knackered that day because before the parade, they needed the volunteers, and I literally said, okay, sign me up. So I had a cat bus, and like, yeah, just onto my shoulders it goes.
Yeah.
But, hey, still a lot
more. Oh, nice. Roman Empire.
Yeah.
Versus German artillery. Who's going to win?
You know what? You know what? Here's the funny part, too. They, after the Battle of the Western Front and all the artillery was, the infantry was gone in the reenactment, they sent a group of LARPers marching, you know, out there into the field to go out there and cause carnage. And then after that, only to be shot down by a tank.
Oh.
That actually happened during the reenactment. Like, and oh, you know what? Lord. And then after that, they literally paraded all the centurions and so forth onto the armored vehicle, onto like those half tracks. Yeah. Sword and shield isn't going to help you much against artillery, is it?
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me like when they're doing this whole thing where people are fighting the military like that. You know what that actually? You know what that makes me think of? It makes me think of the anime Gate. It really does. It's just like forward.
Yes.
They're attacking me with lights. What are those lights? What is this magic? It's not magic. It's a gun. What is this boomstick?
And bang! There goes the LARPers.
Boom. They're all
deep. I can only imagine when they run up to the tanks, they say, what is this metal beast? And they start attacking it, and all you hear is the sound of swords hitting it, like, ting, 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 ting,
clank,
ting,
clank,
ting,
clank.
So, I think it's falling back. It's dying a painful death, and it's just the engine being stabbed with a dagger, and that's all you're hearing is the breaker fluid flowing into the engine.
Precisely what it kind of is. Like,
just imagine medieval speak, cutting the breaker fluid of a tank, and then you hear the knight say, the beast does bleed! Ha ha!
Yeah.
It is.
That's going to work out pretty well.
But all the same, though, there were a lot of good entrails on the parade, too. Like I said, they had this, they had like people carrying pikes. They had a Spanish Inquisition, too. One man carried a big cross while his army followed. And a lot of good props, too. I mean, in fact, I did get a high five from somebody, from a werewolf performer while I was wearing Jolty. So, big ups to that. And, of course, since you guys decided to watch here, you are entitled to literally me being a ball. But that didn't work out so well. I did it though. Oh well. Oh yeah. It's just me and him. Me and another guy dancing. But it was great. Like, I mean, they love us. They said, you know, we're literally a regular fixture at Iron Fest. But to sum it up, though, I would definitely recommend you go to Iron Fest. You hit it up. if not for the, you know, for the reenactors, you know, the history things, the costumes, and so forth, you need to go.
Oh, I shall whenever I can, for one.
I mean,
and you shall too, dear listener.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's a lot I can do, but special favors for that? But anyway, a couple of
out of your league for now, right?
Chris the Love says, looks like a mini bounce castle. The cat bus was a bounce castle. Like, you know, we literally were acting like making bus noise like beep, beep when we were forwarding, reversing, turning, and so on. Act the part. Make it better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where's Chuck Norris? I don't know. But you know what, though, in the cosplay, you had a dragon
shop
there.
Smart, shop S smart. You got that. I can just imagine that happening at the freaking at that place as well. Just freaking the freaking Ash Williams.
But other than that, though, anytime like this, that you. There's no medieval festival at all that literally brings you armored vehicles. Just, you know what? Just go. Just go and get yourself deafened by listening to artillery for hours.
Your ear's going to be ringing for a bit.
Yeah, because they actually were, you know, the infantry were also firing guns, so there's that. But, yeah. I think it is time for our next segment of...
Oh boy.
Yes. The Game of Thrones has literally caused a stir as of late.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you have watched the latest episode of The Game of Thrones, you will see that people were left underwhelmed and really upset about how it was all, you know, carried out, executed, and what went on in the screen, that there was so many complaints going on and about it. Yes. So, Mikhail, where would you like to begin?
Okay. So, The Long Night is the episode of Game of Thrones. First, it starts off where we left off, where the White Walkers and the Army of the Undead has arrived. What they had in the beginning for the episode displaying, the first thing you see is some really bad tactics. Freaking siege weapons, onagers, and trebuchets in the front, and ahead of that were the cavalry. Freaking Melisandre comes along, lights up the Dothraki swords, and the Dothraki, what do? They send the cavalry in, and they all freaking, like, 10,000 or whatever Dothraki charge in, and into the freaking abyss of the darkness, facing against an army of the undead and freaking walkers, White Walkers, only to be slaughtered.
Oof.
You don't send the cavalry in too soon. You use them for flanking. It is
tactics 101, boys and girls.
Yeah.
Especially when you're
so even right out the gate, it's bad writing. It's bad writing straight out the gate.
They were trying to make it like. like, hey, let's just do this, but let's make a finale with this thing. I'm like, no, that's not how you do a finale. if anyone ever plays like medieval strategy games, especially the one game Mountain Blade Warband, if anyone plays Mountain Blade Warband, you know what the cavalry unit is only used for in that game.
Age of Empires 2, for me, is my strategy game of choice, and you never send your cavalry in straight away. You first gotta scout out the place or send some infantry in first, because they most likely have some spearmen. And you don't, especially do not send your siege units in first, because that would mean you're gonna waste a bunch of resources doing that.
Well, you essentially just got rid of all your most powerful weapon on that battlefield.
Mm-hmm. And the dragons, yeah, they had dragons, but they freaking Jon and Daenerys were freaking useless during that episode.
That was free fire. That was free firepower. Free fire. Literally free fire and free firepower. And the dragons couldn't literally strafe the walkers.
They were just lizard with wings.
I mean, it's proof, it is literal proof that they could have strafed the walkers. And then I know in the episode that one of the Night Kings threw a spear and hurt the dragon. But then again, you know, it takes dragon glass to take out a Night King. Like, it's not that hard.
Yeah, but also, it's the freaking, they were, where was I leaving off about for the freaking, Jon Snow, he freaking had his dragon, he was on the wall at one point, and, Sir Davos is trying to get the signal to light this one area that had a freaking pyre with, like, oil on it to basically light it up because it was like covered in pitch. Right. Only that the problem was is that when you literally look at it and you see that the freaking the ditch is not that deep, and the fact that they have so much manpower and they couldn't dig like freaking 6 feet deep trenches, and instead of having it in a freaking moat, like one moat all around, they should have done it like freaking in sections all across the battlefield.
Right.
Because that's how it actually is supposed to do it as well, when you're being attacked.
Right.
The brain brains don't work too well.
No. I mean, leave it to the writers to literally understand, you know, masterclass tactics in warfare.
And how freaking stupid the characters were.
Hollywood today still wonders why people don't like their movies half the time. Yeah. I wonder why.
Paramount?
But
even Paramount with their Sonic OC?
We'll get there,
but we're not done yet.
Not yet. Our Khajiit friend has yet to get to receive his coin's worth of a rant. Mm-hmm.
So did you actually talk about the what's it called? Just the, where we left off tonight.
Arya freaking Stark. Okay.
Yes.
Characters, like the characters were freaking like they were so close like at times of freaking getting killed, and yet they've always came back. And also the person who was supposed to kill the Night King was supposed to be Jon Snow, right? You would think that, you know, they build up his character and they basically build up a lot of confrontation. But who killed the Night King? Arya Stark! Arya Stark!
The girl who spent half her time running away, being trained by the masked men, learning how to fight in subterfuge tactics, is the one that kills the Night King. I mean, you could say a bit of symbolism of that, hey, it's the lady who's in subterfuge that kills the king. Yeah, but she wasn't even prevalent half the time.
Right.
But like, it had nothing to do with the plot, and he was supposed to build up to this thing. Granted,
she had her own story, you know, like where she was by herself and stuff, like they focus on her, but it was nothing in connection to Snow's journey. Who learned of the White Walkers. Snow, who brought the realms together. Snow, who chose his people over a title. Snow, who actually managed to convince the Lannisters to stop fighting, to fight the North.
Yeah, but it didn't really work in the show because of Cersei. But yeah, but they should have had the freaking Lannister threat be dealt with somehow, rather than, you know, because the final outcome was the Night King was supposed to die at the end of the story, not during, like, close to the end, but it is the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, instead, basically the end game is that it's supposed to basically have the great houses get past their quarreling and their bickering to fight a very bad threat.
Yeah.
But now after the since the Night King is dead, they're going to go straight back to bickering, and they're, and I guess it's in the end, is this the end game for Game of Thrones at this point? Is going to be whoever the fuck sits down on that fucking iron chair,
which would end probably game. Be Jon Snow or Miss Targaryen.
You know,
I think the only way they can salvage the series is that if Jon Snow ends up sitting on the throne, because you know he is the rightful heir.
Right.
By well, blood.
And not only that, though, is that if he somehow dies, then it would be Daenerys that sits on the throne. But fun fact, no one, if most people don't know, Jon Snow and Daenerys Targaryen are related almost by blood, except that Daenerys is the aunt to Mr. Snow. So Snow had sex with his aunt.
Pluck my banjo if I had one.
I think they should have added in a freak out of Jon Snow doing that, because I mean I would freak out too if I found that. I'd be a little
bit disturbed. Had sex with my aunt.
That's one thing I would actually say out loud to freaking Sam if he told me that. I'd be like, oh fuck. But no, none of that. It was just silence.
Hey, you know what? You know what? But though the best thing about it, it's I guess you could make the notion that it's less gross than the Lannister brother and sister having sex. At least it's not the brother sister. It's just a nephew and aunt.
Some of these writers, I swear. But in that said.
Well, no, it's not the writers that made the movie. You remember this whole
I know
series is coming from J.J. Abrams,
R. R. Martin, and now you know it's sad that freaking the current writers for the TV show have squandered Martin's work.
Well, yeah, and there was George R. R. Martin was very heavily invested in building the Azor Ahai prophecy by having someone be or something being sacrificed to make the sword Lightbringer to put an end to the night. That's how a prophecy was supposed to be tied into the freaking TV show, but they didn't do that. Instead, they sent in Arya freaking Stark to do the work.
And
speaking of which, Jolt. Do you have the link to the actress who played Arya Stark said how she was left in the dark, and when she got the script, she had conflicted feelings.
I mean, I could find it, but the thing is, though, if what was said is that, you know, if she got the script, like literally on, like she was left in the dark, received the script. And it was like, and had to go with it, and then like he was feeling conflicted. Is this how we want to do it? Then you know, then something's really up. And you know, that freaking who let them you let the writers have all this power and let them act unilaterally as if this is literally my show, my way, right?
No, George R. R. Martin, he owns the rights to the freaking franchise.
Yeah.
Because like the original person who made the freaking thing to begin with.
Yes, but it's the writers who have ruined the TV show by just doing this. And what was it again? Like, even the actor for Arya Stark, you know, felt kind of conflicted. And when things turn out the way they did, you know.
She doesn't like it.
Right, right. I mean, it's already a big red flag to be left in the dark for so long.
Yeah, she said how the other people on the set were kind of looking at her strange, as if they kind of were, you know, they knew, but they couldn't say anything to her. It was just like, oh.
Yeah.
That's how she described it. That's how the actress described talking about it too. I think it was like, Time Warner magazine or something.
Yeah.
But I just request a drink.
But at the same token, though, who was it? Like, one of the guys, Matthew Kadish, was also ranting about how, you know, the writers have literally sunk the show to the ground. But, and, like, you could pretty much say that Game of Thrones has gone downhill. Like, from the first half to the later half, it just, you know, plummeted. But the point of contention that I did want to say also was how the Night King died satisfying?
No. Absolutely not.
Not only did it break the prophecy and not allow John to, you know, to do. It just... And how did the Night King die again? Like, what, a stab from a knife?
Yes, the stab from the Valyrian steel dagger that Littlefinger used to assassinate Bran.
And that's all it took to destroy the Night King.
I'm gonna friggin' send something, Jolden, a link.
It's funny as well too how you build up, you know, characters to a degree. Until then, later on, it's just a Thanos in his finger, like that. And speaking of Endgame.
Oh well, this isn't the thing for that. But you know, if you do watch a video called Game of Thrones Season 8 Episode 3 and Unbridled Rage, you'll see why. We'll briefly screen share it, but you will see why it has pretty much ruined the show.
Yeah, it's about a half hour long. It's ruined. It basically talks about how the siege tactics were very stupid, even. And back in the early seasons, at least the tactics were also spot on. You know, like a lot of the tactics were spot on that were used in the old in the previous seasons, like the Battle of the Blackwater.
Yeah, but I also saw Luke Skywalker drinking some like green shit.
But yeah, at the end of the day,
it cuts to that a lot, and it also cuts to Tywin Lannister when he says something about how when he talks about something tactical.
All good though, but just as a last thing though, people were literally, you know, the complaints from the episode alone were like, oh, it's too dark, and oh, it affected immigrants disproportionately.
I really hate people that kind of try to take the one thing when it comes to books, movies, and creating a world, the one thing that, like when you said about that article, the thing is this. You don't take your world and put it into that world, nor do you take that world and try to bring it into ours, because one, it doesn't this reality exists. That does not. To try and justify or put a fixed position or statement or anything like that on something that does not exist just does not work. To say, oh, a movie affects this person in a negative way, it shouldn't, and it can't, and it will never, ever in history, ever hurt anyone in any way, because one, it doesn't exist, therefore it's not real, and it can't do such a thing. I don't think any immigrants who watch Game of Thrones think that it's hurting them in any negative way, unless they're doing some extreme reaching till their arms are about 9 feet long and reach around the globe.
They officially, like, you know, made that reach to describe one of the races that was affected in the war, or whatever. So whatever it was.
Okay, so that's just a story, yeah. but that group of people does not exist here in our world, because they don't exist. We do. To try and say one group here in our reality is similar or mirrors that reality, that, or I should say that fantasy, doesn't work that way. Actually, in most cases, that from that headline alone, it could be taken as insulting that you are comparing something that doesn't exist to someone that does exist.
Yeah, it's nothing but just stupid fucking politics.
Identity politics. It's someone's got to be the person you got to sympathize with. Oh, you got to be sorry for these people. I'm not going to ever be sorry for the people in a movie.
No.
I watched Avatar. I felt sad for both sides. I felt sad for the human beings that had to abandon Earth because it was dying, and then they try to say, oh, it's because of us. Planets just naturally expire. You can't say that what the humans did to Earth is in that and that's also a fantasy world too. We don't know what the humans is, because they also all they said was Pollution. That's it. Well, what kind of pollution? Oh, don't say pollution.
All right, that thing has gone a little bit far enough at the point, at the moment.
Indeed.
Right. Yeah. So I think it is time.
But all boiled.
We'll finally get on to the favorite skills, favorite little segment.
Gotta go fast. Gotta go fast. Gotta go faster. Gotta. Oh, just like make a parody of that saying. Gotta go fast. Gotta go faster, faster. Stop.
Look, I mean, the sun, when the trailer came out, you just, how do you react to it? You first finally see Sonic's action on the screen.
What name is that?
I'm just like reacting to, when I first saw it, even when I just saw that they were teasing it, even before the trailer came out, I looked at that, and I'm not a Sonic fan. I'm not like, I never played the Sonic game series at all. I never played them at all. But for me to know, at least know who he is in his character design. When I look at that, it's not like I'm upset. It's not like I'm angry. It's just like I stepped into a dark void and I'm wondering, is anybody here? Is anyone seeing what I'm witnessing? That's like the first concern I have. It's like, am I seeing this correctly? Like, it's not something you can get mad at or upset at. It's just you're looking at that and you're like, are you seeing this? Yeah. Or am I crazy?
Okay, I played a lot of Sonic games in my past, and I even like playing, I mean, the games like Sonic Unleashed and Sonic Colors were relatively good. I mean, they were modern games, but they were still good. Same with Sonic Generations, but it's just they had a few bad games like Sonic 06 and Sonic Boom, and
Well, you know what? I would still prefer watching Sonic Boom over this CGI movie.
And that alone is saying something.
But
at least Sonic's at least Sonic's model in Boom is more appealing than the CGI one.
Yes, Sparky, go on.
Yeah, but they said the director heard all the complaints about the character. They said they would be changing it to the classic cartoon look.
That's what they promised to, and we're going to touch on that right about now, actually.
I've heard
they
some mild...
Get
I've
design
also,
right.
They also left, had some mild...
The left is the old design, and the right is kind of like the new design they're going for. It's better, but
I mean,
it could be a lot better than that.
You know, that's an interesting thing, though, because on Twitter, someone who actually did a fan of CGI actually took Sonic's model from the video games, did an actual CGI representation where he he has gloves.
And
like that right there.
Yes. And they also had, like, many people were suggesting how they were going to fix Sonic to, you know, to get things like the eye shape down pat.
Yeah.
As well.
Someone actually suggested that saying Sonic is not supposed to look what on the left. He's supposed to. Someone actually did a helpful tip for Sonic's eyes for the CGI and to the directors who are making the CGI. They said, just put like a raccoon's mask on Sonic for his eyes, just a shape of outline, and you're fine.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't need to be hyper realistic.
No, that's not the whole point.
That's just disturbing.
Yeah.
It's very disturbing.
It's like, the one correct thing they did, though, is that if you look at Detective Pikachu, and then in Detective Pikachu, the Growlithe and Arcanine characters that are made, that was actually done by someone who doesn't work directly for the company making the movie. The company found the person who had been doing CGI, the quote-unquote, if Pokemon were in real life, they saw his artwork, asked him, hey, we're going to offer you a position. Would you like to do it? He did it, and that's where you see all these characters. Mime looks creepy, but you know what? It's not far from his character model in the games.
Well, hey, I mean, and that guy who created the CGI from Detective Pikachu is probably going to make a lot of money from all this.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
At least, I mean, a lot of fans are excited about it. Greninja looks good. Mewtwo looks good. Pikachu looks good. Growlithe looks good. They have all those the Squirtles.
And Jigglypuff looks so freaking hilarious.
And then Jigglypuff's the nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but... I mean, I guess it could be just like a meme thing with whole like the whole Trigglypuff thing.
Look, I mean, to get back to it though, they also memed Sonic's new design too.
Yeah.
Like you've seen the how
RTX
many of
on, RTX off.
Yeah, there's one of those two, and then you know.
Also, that there's a little bit of also criticism that there's minor criticism. Both on actor and also mild political, but I only seen one comment on it.
Yeah, but I think it's the actors that I've have a bit of a
one person said they shouldn't have had Jim Carrey casted as Eggman.
Yeah,
more or less because they say more of the mild criticism was they didn't think Jim Carrey would be. They see Jim Carrey as the comedian, and Jim Carrey always does well in comedic roles, but to put him in the serious villain situation is, at the least, to say, kind of awkward, you know, because you see him with all this stuff and then have him as the villain is awkward.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw Eggman basically pop out of the trailer, it was like, he's basically an obnoxious douche.
Yeah. And then they had the one, I only saw one comment that was minor, and they said Jim Carrey, one person would not watch Jim Carrey was a socialist.
Politics, well, Jim Carrey could match Eggman's attitude.
I mean, there's that, and the looks of freaking Eggman.
There's just, you know, a very simple trick, you know, when it comes to politics.
They did redesign it.
Guile, one at a time.
Okay. Well, they did. Jesus Christ. Okay, go ahead, Sparky.
Just stop. Sparky,
but they did redesign Eggman so it's not CGI, but it's mostly just Jim Carrey in his uniform stuff.
Yeah, that alone has a lot of design. Well, so on, but when you look at what's it called? What do you think of how they animated Sonic, just from the trailer itself? Like you just look at it, and then you see Sonic basically pulling off his trademark moves, and trademark speed, and so on. And now you know what we get. We're basically going to be injecting what passes for modern comedy in a Sonic movie. Well, I shouldn't say.
All right, what was Gil gonna say?
There's actually a pretty easy solution, you know, to the, you know, when it comes to politics, right? Because, especially ever since that, you know, Jim Carrey came out as, you know, the socialist and yada yada, it's, just bring yourself, you know, to the 2000s and pretend like you're still living that time and enjoy the movie before all this politics horseshit gets in the way and soytards and everything just come to ruin it even more than they already have.
Yeah, but yes, as some people, Crystal Lava says, I think Jim Carrey needs to go. I mean, I don't know. There could be. I can say that there's better characters they can cast for Eggman for sure. But
I don't really know very many actors, so like, I wonder who would fit a good Eggman role.
Oh, I don't know. But either way,
it would be him or the guy, whatever his actor's name, that played Jack Sparrow in a.
Probably not. Probably not. But you know what? Though, what do you think? Just before we wrap this up, what do you think the chances of the movie kind of, you know, being a hit will be?
There are its chances, actually. I mean, it already built up his reputation after upon that biblical horror great thing, and even then, by that I mean on the advertising, I think it's mostly complete, be for better for worse in that regard, but I mean they have some momentum to make it a hit, especially if we get to fix, you know, the that creep and,
you know,
Finn, and please just fix the fucking music Coolio's Gangster Paradise.
You know,
which boomer tunes that music?
I would dare say that at least they didn't dig themselves into a deeper pit by designing more Sonic characters in that design.
And saying, it's our movie, go with it.
No, like, hey, what would happen? Like, there would be so much outcry if they designed Knuckles, Tails, Amy, Shadow, and etc. in that design.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ.
Just yeah. That.
God is dead.
Yeah.
God is fucking dead.
Nope. 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 I'm gonna say nope. But, alas, I would say now we have one last item on the ticket.
Well, who be the? That's what I was thinking. Johnny Depp or the other guy that's currently trying to play as Dr. Eggman right now.
Jim Carrey? Someone else.
Jim Carrey or Johnny Depp, who would be the better Eggman?
Good grief. I think I'd have to pass on Ingram at this moment. No, I'd even have to see if, you know, Sonic turns out to be the train wreck or whatever it is because of the sum of its parts. Now, I'm not saying I'm optimistic, but yeah, just be cautious. That's all I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, enough of that right now. There is one last item on the ticket, and that is based the general acquisitions of some.
Oh, Christ.
Yes. We'll start with the better part because I know you don't want to talk about the worst part until, till after.
Yes, it's just the, how bad I can see this going.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll save the worst for last.
But just to begin with, though, Psyonix was the makers of Rocket League were acquired by Epic Games.
Epic Games.
Yeah.
Good news, everyone.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
We just basically went on to the last item, and now, yeah, Epic Games is bought into Psyonix, makers of Rocket League, and there's a lot of big ramifications, even though they say that they Psyonix claims that, Rocket League will still be the same true Rocket League and so forth. But I think you can all see where this is headed, right?
Yeah. Some fans Rocket are now very distrustful.
Rocket League is going to become a battle royale now.
Oh, no.
Lord have mercy Rocket on our League. Souls.
Yeah, that would be a big worst case scenario.
Rocket League, just became like a pay-to-win game.
I mean, if they basically scrap the price tag just because they can live off of Epic Sugar Daddy money, then that would be the game. But it also gets worse because now you can see where this is going, and people are still up in arms because they might pull the game from the Steam store.
Ooh.
Oh.
Well, the thing was is I'm not too upset about that, mostly because I tried playing Rocket League. I didn't enjoy it because the learning curve was massive, and I don't mind doing learning curves. It's just that it's a game that needs to be played with a controller for more precision.
No, I can play it just fine with mouse and keyboard and keys.
I tried it, but I'm not that good at it.
Come on.
I foregoed it.
Epic Games is that one company that sued a little kid for something stupid.
What are you suing for?
No, that was just something about you can easily do in any other game that you can do. Maybe like something like.
Oh, are you talking about the kid who?
Oh, the 14-year-old child.
The one guy.
Was cheating. Claims that by going after individual players rather than websites selling, providing the software necessary to cheat in an online game.
Yeah.
Hmm.
They were suing the 14-year-old for cheating in the game rather than going after the company that makes the cheat.
Well, they got to ruin. This is the age of ruining people, but not really. you know, but there will be a lot that's going to go wrong with the deal, though, because, like, for some, you know, for somebody who claims, like, Epic Games, who claims to demonopolize the industry, the shop fronts, but does this, like, exclusive deals, you know, pot meet kettle.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, though, it just isn't going to win. Phoenix is just going to suffer the most. But, I think we also got to go to the worst part of the acquisitions now.
Oh, dear.
Yep.
Oh, no.
Tumblr is... Verizon wants to sell off Tumblr. And look,
because
and
you squandered
and
the potential.
Yeah, and guess who the biggest potential buyer is who has their eyes set on it?
Pornhub.
Let me guess.
Pornhub.
Yeah, it's Pornhub.
Well, to be honest, Pornhub. Oh, right. Pornhub is the Canadian one. Right?
Canada.
Oh. Great.
We would have sung a better run of that. But the fact is, I really wanted to make a Crack a Mic Tumblr Great Again joke, but Tumblr was never great.
Oof.
Yeah, I mean, it really wasn't, because everyone went on there to just pour their heart out and make their, dear diary.
And you know what's so funny? They were stepping away from being a cancer pit by banning all the NSFW, I might dare say. And now Pornhub wants to drag them back into it.
Well, actually, you know, Tumblr's not being dragged back into it. You see, the people who originally owned it wanted it gone. Now, if Pornhub gets it, it's going to come back. The Tumblr under Pornhub's going to make lots of money. The people who made the choice to get rid of porn are going to be upset, because they're going to look at the financial gains that Pornhub's going to make with Tumblr, and the Tumblr community is going to be happy again and go back.
Jolt, I got a question.
Yes.
If Tumblr is bought out by Pornhub, is the name going to remain Tumblr, or are they going to change it to, like, Cumblr?
Oh.
Well, then again, there is a lot of gay porn on Tumblr.
Cumblr.
Cumblr.
Oh, now that's something that'll stick for the ages.
That's, you just made it worse.
There's gonna be so many jokes. Everyone's gonna say, "That's how the cookies glaze."
My sides.
Jolt is fucking dying.
Stop it! And then everyone else is gonna be mad. Stop it! Stop it! Stop making fictional cum porn. And it's just like, oh no, that's how the cookie cumbles. No!
I say that Pornhub, some people on Pornhub and Tumblr are, when they go head to head, they're probably going to go head to head with each other at one point.
Oh, but you know what made it work?
You're going to have the virtue signaling Tumblrina saying, now, Pornhub, don't make things sexual, proceeds to have a competition who can make the best porn video.
Oh.
It's going to be a literal fuck fest.
All you're going to see, you're just going to see the front page plastered, brother X sister, brother X brother, sister X sister, mother X brother.
Oh.
What the fuck?
But no.
This was
made. You know, they're getting bought by the people, Pornhub, who also promoted on their statistics for feminist porn.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I remember them posting that, but it's just,
you're depressing me, Tumblr. Really depressing me.
It's like, now, you know, between the two, it's like, who can now make porn the most uncool at this moment? Utterly depressing.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
But, I don't know what to say. I don't know what can save Tumblr now anymore.
I will never look at Tumblr.
Nothing can save it anymore. There's nothing that can save it anymore.
Ah, say let it die.
But at this stage,
not
yes, sorry,
quoting
but...
the Lorax.
Ah, Blue Raptor. Yeah, you came at a really bad time, and especially now that we're about to kind of wrap this up. But just as a before we go, somebody was asking Malumnyan, can someone explain the Foxer situation? Well, it so far we're literally going through the legal process one step at a time. He was really, you know, he was supposedly charged with harassment of a child, but that he was released without charges. He was detained, yes, but then on he went to court, got an advisement, but his next court hearing will determine if it proceeds. So but there is no cause for panic, and we'll keep you up to date on any developments on that. But that said, we will be fine. Nothing bad will happen. We will continue to sail the ship, no matter what happens.
Even if the captain dies off,
I'm gonna make you.
Making accusations that are retarded enough.
Oh, dude, yeah, that's what the preliminary hearing is for. Like,
I'll make you panic, Joel. I'll just make you panic, and I'll say it just be like John Cena. Are you sure about that? Are you sure everything will be okay? Are you absolutely sure? Well, do you have confidence?
Well, let's just say I have big shoes to fill. And I might just panic because of it.
Big boy shoes.
I know. But I think it's pretty much the time we have for a week. I mean, what did you think of this week's cycle?
It went from a dream to a nightmare.
From a fantasy to a hellhole.
Was the Tumblr, just let it die and let it shrivel up.
Yeah.
Let it become Cumbler.
Okay. No, oh, God, no. Now you got maybe when you said it should shrivel up and die. I'm like, no. Now I'm thinking of Flaccid Willies.
This is the stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, this is how serious the show is.
Just the first mind goes like, it needs to shrivel up and die. Just like my dick after Pornhub.
Why do I keep
I thought it sounded like a tree dying.
Why do I keep you guys on board? but I digress. I love you guys.
I'm so sorry I had to, though.
We love you too, Joel.
Tumblr's gonna shrivel up and die one day, just like my dick. After 2 hours of Pornhub.
Pretty soon it's gonna be like the Chad Pornhub.
No, you don't
want Tumblr.
It's even more relevant when I said just like my dick on Pornhub, and it's relevant because of who's buying it.
Actually,
I would not sing that. That's kind of embarrassing, though.
That joke is gone.
After that song, Let It Grow, and what is this? The mayor himself starts singing Let It Die.
Let it die. Let it die. Don't give it a tombstone.
At this rate, yeah, something like that. Okay. I have to.
But let it shrivel up and, you know.
Okay, enough.
Yes.
That's good. Girl, have you got any closing statements one at a time? Not Gil, no. We'll save you for last.
Yeah, okay. Kill porn.
Tumblr.
Mikhail?
Yeah, Tumblr needs to go. It's an SJW mating ground.
A few closing, at least one closing statement is, I am done with Game of Thrones. Fuck that shit.
Rightfully so, because it was unsatisfying. It was just unsatisfying.
Yeah, Tumblr is just an SJW factory, including Twitter.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my dragon and get the hell out of Westeros.
Yep.
On the bright side, I was gonna say. I mean, at least on the bright side of Tumblr being maimed as it is, it did bring life back to Newgrounds.
Kind of did, yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, so, Blade, any closing statements?
Not that I can think of.
It's a wild ride for sure, but just but before
I mean, the only closing statement I have is closing statement. Actually, yeah, I do have one. Closing statement: writers know nothing about medieval warfare tactics. Never ever have them in a general's position or lieutenant's position. Always know that for the Sonic thing, crowdsourcing. Always do it. Crowdsourcing.
Yeah.
Good sourcing.
Good advice.
And never let boomers make your characters.
Clown world.
Clown world. Clown world confirmed.
You know, I think I would actually dare to say that the Game of Thrones writers sound exactly like the LARPers at, you know, when at Iron Fest, literally trying to fight a tank.
Yeah. The beast bleeds! Proceeds to cut the fuel line.
Like, I don't think, you know, they wouldn't even learn a thing from the reenactments, Nate. It's how bad they are.
I always keep thinking that about it. That would actually be something a knight would say if it attacked a tank and then cut a fuel line. Ah, oh, the beast does bleed. It has blood.
And I wouldn't doubt it enough for them to just charge against an artillery cannon, even with their shields.
They'll just call the artillery strange snakes that spit fire.
Okay.
Leave that to me, Vo, but before you do, Vo, you get an entitlement to see one of these before you go. Indeed.
Yay.
Oh.
Is that, which one is that? Is that an 88 or is that one of those British Bofors?
I mean,
an 88.
Because the muzzle looks different. The muzzle looks like something from the Bofors.
Yeah, so like a hybrid of sorts, I guess. Or yeah. Are we both wrong?
In that, yeah, but they were all. It was quite great.
Especially I was like, that's what I was thinking. Is like, is it something like meet the schoolgirl climate warriors? Like, yeah, something like get assaulted for saying man-made climate change is a myth. Well, welcome to clown world.
Well, hey, at least the artillery contributes more and more to it, but don't blame them. You know what? Who can help? But anyway, it is time to close. Thanks again for listening in for another episode. Hope you had fun, as we did, you know, just to produce this for you guys. Reminder, all our episodes are on YouTube, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play Store, Stitcher, more platforms to come. And, well, this is us signing up for the week. Not sorry for my absence, but just to bring you the Fable of Iron Fest. And until next time, farewell.
I wouldn't plan on being here, but hey, thank you everyone for watching. I hope you guys enjoyed this one as much as I did. As I look forward to next one. Oh, and a bit of a challenge for myself as well, too. Look back on the stream and catch yourself some meme-worthy Easter eggs that you may find, especially in the news articles.
Thanks, indeed. Goodbye now.
And until then...